Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Was that parable new to you this morning? The parable of the miners, or however you want to pronounce it. And as I looked at it, yes, it's got very similar to the parable of the talents, which a lot of people think it's the same, but it's not. There are similarities and there are differences. And this morning, I want to look at one of the differences between those two parables that is only mentioned in this one this morning. And it gives us a teaching that is vital, I think, for our understanding of a particular subject. If I ask you this morning to think of Jesus and names and titles, what do you think of? Just throw some out to me. Jesus is, or Jesus is my, Jesus is my Saviour. Yep.
Lord.
Jesus is Lord. Jesus is rock,
fortress,
light,
strength,
shepherd. There is one that we don't think about very often, and I was thinking with all the songs we sang this morning, you might have thought what that was. Jesus is King. And this parable teaches something about Jesus being King that is vitally important. And when we start this parable, Jesus is going to Jerusalem. It's a week away from his death on the cross. And he realizes that his disciples have got a misunderstanding. There is something they haven't understood. There is something that they think is going to happen in Jerusalem, and it's not going to happen. They thought that Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, the promised one, was going to go to Jerusalem and overthrow the Romans. He would become ruler. He would become king, as promised by all the prophecies they knew about. And just like the prophets of old, they had not separated the two comings of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus tells this parable for one reason, and one reason only: to tell them that what they think is going to happen is not going to happen. He is not going to establish a kingdom next week in Jerusalem. He told the parable because he knew this was in their heart and thoughts. So he told them. There was a man who went away to be made king. And when he came back as king, he asked them what they had done with the money that he had left them. And this is what I want us to look at this morning, is that Jesus wanted to prepare their hearts, because he knew that they would be disappointed. He knew what sadness there would be when he didn't overthrow the Romans. You see, while they were listening, he went on to tell them a parable, because he was near Jerusalem. And the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear. A man went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. You see, when we think of the return of Christ, when we think that Jesus is returning, he's not coming as Saviour, he's done that. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming to establish a kingdom. He's coming to establish and rule over all the nations. Now, that's not happened. Now, there are many churches and organizations who think their job is to establish God's kingdom right now on earth with Jesus. That's not the mission of the church. That's not the mission of organizations. Consider there are actually organizations called Thy Kingdom Come, and their sole purpose is to bring the rule and the authority of Jesus on earth over cities and nations through prayer and spiritual warfare. But that's not what Jesus left us to do. He told us to go into the world and make disciples and teach them to observe all that I have taught you. That's our mission. That's our task. And when the king returns, that's when he's going to ask us how we've done. And when we look at the talents, and I'll put it in with this one, I call it the parable of responsibility with God-given abilities. Because he's coming back as king. You know how, you know what Archbishop Justin Welby, what he says, praying thy kingdom come means? We all commit to playing a part in the renewal of the nations and the transformation of communities. Is that what Jesus meant when he said, this is how you should pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What he wants is this. And we've got to get our heads around this. It's twofold. Jesus is king and Jesus is Lord over all those who have believed and repented and are born again. They know Jesus is Lord. They are subject to his kingship. And when they pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, they're praying, in my life, Lord, I want your kingship. I want your rule. I want your will to be done. But there's another aspect, which is, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come and rule over the nations. Come again to rule as he has promised to do. Many churches who teach on the Lord's Prayer, what does thy kingdom come mean? It means to invite God's will in the world. That's too general. We're to make disciples. We are to preach the gospel so that his rule can then come in their lives. For me to pray thy kingdom come is to pray for his return, to establish his kingdom on earth where he will rule with his people. That's a teaching from this parable. It's not in the talents. He's teaching them about his mission as king. He said, while I'm on earth first time round, it's not to establish a visible kingdom over the nations. It will happen when I come a second time. You know, we get sidetracked sometimes into thinking that we can bring his rule, his kingdom over people's lives who have not repented and believed on him. If you look through the centuries, governments have tried to do this by passing laws. Even by violence and wars, they've overtook to try and make them Christian, to try and make them under the kingship of Jesus. And the only way at the moment for someone to come under his rule, his kingship, is by believing and repenting and by being born again. That's the only way I know of someone today coming into the kingdom of God. You know, there are organizations and who focus on, you know, thy kingdom come. And there's an organization based here in Coventry. And their first priority, they say, to bring his kingdom is to bring healing and to bring health and wealth to people. Salvation is their number two priority. If they want truly for his kingdom to come, salvation has to be the top priority, not second or third. Jesus is king and he's coming back. You know, there was some, it says there in the parable, who didn't like Jesus. That's amazing, isn't it? They hated him. They wanted to run after this person in the parable and said, we don't want him as king. We don't want him as king. We want to stop his journey. We want to stop him going to where he needs to go to be declared king. Now, Jesus in this parable might be obviously talking about the Pharisees who didn't want him to go to his father and be king. But there are many today who don't want Jesus as their king. They don't want his lordship. They don't want his rule. They don't want to be subject to him. Oh, they want him as saviour. They want him as healer. They want him as shepherd. They want him to help them and comfort them and guide them and do all these things, but they don't want him as king. And we've sang all those lovely songs about declaring his majesty and that he's king of kings. And the question this morning from this parable is that while Jesus has gone away, while Jesus has been declared king and will come back as king of kings and lord of lords, is he your king this morning? Is he Lord? Are you subject to his kingship? Because in this parable, when he comes back, he didn't ask them, you know, are they saved? Are they forgiven? He asked them, what did you do with the task I left you with? How have you fulfilled the task I left you with? We'll look at that in more detail the next time I talk about these parables. Because Jesus, when he comes back as king, will ask us, what have we done with the responsibility and the task he left us with? Some people have greater responsibility than others. That's why some got five, some got two, and some got one. But we all have a task. We all have responsibilities. And he's coming back. Gee, it says, repent, for the kingdom is near. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. What is the good news of the kingdom? What is the good news about the king? That he's coming back. And for now, until he does, you can know him. You can know the king. You can kneel and say, you are my Lord. You are my king. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus? I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Jesus went on to say, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit. You want to enter the kingdom with Jesus when he returns? Only those who are truly born again will be with him in the kingdom when he comes. And if you're in his kingdom now, it's not a visible, he's not ruling nations now. What's he ruling? He's ruling the individual. He's ruling those who are born again, and he's their Lord and he's their king. And yet, because believers are not taught about his kingship and his lordship, and they're given sometimes this concept of him ruling cities and nations, he wants to rule your heart. He wants to rule my heart. He wants me to be subject to him and answerable to him. And that when he comes back as king, he will say to me, John, I left you this task. I left you this responsibility. I gave you the means to do it. What have you done? Did you do nothing like the person who had the one? As I said, I'll look into more detail. He's coming back as king. At the moment, the nations are ruled by our enemy. Remember when Jesus was tempted? And the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. It says in Ephesians, you follow the ways of this world and obey the devil. He rules the world. So who's ruling the nations now? When he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he had every right to offer him all the kingdoms of the world, because at that moment and in this moment in time, they belong to him. But Jesus wants your heart. Jesus wants your life. And he died for it. And he died, yes, to be Saviour. He died, yes, to be your shepherd, your healer, your comforter, your light and your rock. But he also died that you might say, you're my king. I'm your servant. We're going to have the communion in a short while. Jesus said this about the communion. I tell you the truth. I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. And in Luke's version, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. So he will not drink of the vine and he will not eat the bread until when? Until he returns and sets up his kingdom. That's why I know there's a kingdom coming. There's a visible kingdom coming. When Jesus will rule over all the nations and his people rule with him. But for now, until he returns, he wants us to know him as King and Lord and to be subject to him. Jesus said in John, my kingdom is not of this world. And yet so many organizations want to make it of this world. And it isn't. It's in us. In front of Pilate, he said, my kingdom is from another place. And Pilate said, you are a king. The kingdom is in us. It's quite, to me, I'm a simple, I like things simple. At the moment, the kingdom of God, not visible as such. He's not ruling nations. He's ruling people. And yes, when he rules people, that should be visible. The light and the salt and the good Samaritan and all other things we've looked at should be visible. In Revelation, which is all about the end, it says, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, the authority of Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. This is what Jesus is talking about. He's coming back as a King of kings and the Lord of lords. And the authority that the enemy has over the nations will be gone because Jesus will replace him. And we will rule with him. And what this parable says is this. The extent of our authority, how we will rule with him, depends how well we've dealt with our responsibilities now before he comes. How much we have submitted to his lordship and kingship. And I don't know if you caught that very last verse in that little clip of the film. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them over here and kill them. This is Jesus. That's Jesus talking. And what he's saying is this. We have choices to make. Even as believers, are we going to acknowledge him as Lord and as King? See, those people that Jesus talked about did not want this other person to rule over them, did not want that person to be king. Didn't mind taking his money. Didn't mind good things that he would give them. Just didn't want his lordship. Just didn't want his kingship. And that's the essence of this parable. Jesus says in Matthew 7, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father. In Luke it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say? It's grace we are saved. In one sense, I should just be careful. Jesus is in his parables, lots of parables, in essence, do not talk about salvation, but about rewards and what happens when he returns. And what happens when he returns in this parable is based on what we did with the responsibility and the task he left us with. How much they subjected themselves to the king. How much they subjected to the king while he was away and distant. When he's not in people's thoughts, he'd gone away a long time. And people are not conscious of him as king and lord, and people so easily go and do their own things, but he's coming back. Says in Revelation, they will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And with him will be his called, chosen and faithful followers. Oh, he's coming back. He's coming back. And this morning, just take from this parable this. Let us live declaring and acknowledging that Jesus is King while we wait for his return, while we fulfill the task, responsibilities he's left us with. He's in you. His rule, his kingship is in you. There is a day coming when he will rule the nations, the worlds as King of Kings and Lord of Lords with his people. And if you like, we get to practice now. Because we are his royal nation. We are his royal priesthood. His holy nation. We are his people. And he has called us to be ambassadors of the King. Representatives of the King. Servants of the King. And this is just one piece of a jigsaw of the parables that we put in place. And this one just says Jesus is King while we wait for him to return. The King is coming. Amen.